in the orders of service at the top of page one. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen. There is one body and one spirit. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Peace be with you. May I add my own words of welcome to you all to our service of baptism, confirmation, and Holy Communion. And especially a warm welcome to those to be baptized and confirmed this evening, to families and friends, and to all who've come to support you and pray for you on this important day in your journey of life and faith. We're going to keep a short moment of silence now as we stand. And in the silence, I invite us all to hold those who are about to be baptized or confirmed before God and pray for each one of them in their journey of life and faith. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you give to your faithful people new life in the water of baptism. Guide and strengthen us by the same Spirit, that we who are born again may serve you in faith and love, and grow into the full stature of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. We sit for the first Bible reading.
Our first reading this evening is taken from 1 Peter chapter 1. Beginning at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for our gospel reading. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John chapter 20, beginning at the 19th verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Through the door, though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you. Would you please be seated? Open our hearts and our minds, O Lord, that we may hear your word, believe your truth, and fashion our lives in accordance with your will, and all for Christ's sake. Amen. A verse from our first reading this evening. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I want to spend a few moments before our baptism and confirmation just exploring what that idea of new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ might mean for us here in the 21st century, and especially perhaps for those who are to be baptized and confirmed. I think everyone is aware of the many challenges we face as we journey through our lives. There are, of course, a lot of very good things that happen to us, but also there are many challenges. It might be related to health or well-being, perhaps to jobs or the sheer busyness and pressure of life. It may be related to our closest relationships and how those might be going. It might be related to exams and how we're worrying about those and how we're going to do, or jobs. There are all sorts of challenges which face us in our individual lives. And then if we look a little more broadly into our world, we are very aware of how many difficulties and challenges are there as well. People who live in places of deep conflict, those who don't have enough food to eat, our care for our planet and the environment. There are all sorts of things that confront us that we have to steer our way through. We live in a very plural world, all kinds of people from different backgrowns living cheek by jowl one with another, many different understandings about how human life is to be lived and the direction in which we are to take. So a real question in all of this as we spend our time here on earth is how we are to truly flourish, how we're to find hope and fullness of life in the midst of all the challenges of our own lives. When I was a teenager, which was a little while ago now, I attended a church down in Surbiton, not a long way from here. And one of the things I was doing as I came to grips with the Christian faith and began to encounter the Christian faith and how I understood that, I was also at the same time getting more and more into studying science and how that understood the world in which we live in. And as a teenager, I remember thinking that you have to, in the end, make a decision about where you stand on some really important questions. And it seemed to me that you either have to end up as a thoroughgoing materialist. In other words, all there is ultimately in our universe is stuff, material, matter, atoms, fundamental particles. And all that there is, all that we see, buildings, people, animals, the cosmos, are complicated arrangements of matter. And that is all there is ultimately. And any meanings which we might give to our lives are meanings that we make and we put on to that matter. And they have no more significance than that. So it seemed to me either you have to go down that track, which is actually a rather bleak view of life when you stop to think about it, or you decide that there is a deeper reality behind all that we see and experience, the idea of God, that there is a God behind this extraordinary universe, in and through our universe, the God who created us, who made us, for whom we are meant to be. That was the choice which I think ultimately we have to make, to decide whether we're going to believe that there is a God and allow God to come into our lives and shape us, or we have to decide that really, in the end, all there is stuff. But of course, there's a question about how we are to decide between those different understandings. And how are we to know what the nature of God is? Well, our gospel reading from John's gospel can help us out there. At the very end of that reading, we heard these words: Jesus did many signs, and these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, that through believing you may have life in his name. At the heart of the Christian faith is the idea that in Jesus, in his life and death and resurrection, which we remember especially in the service of Holy Communion, here we see the very heart of God, the very being of God, expressed in human form. If we want to understand this mysterious universe, the place we must go is to God made known in Christ. Because here in this story, we see the very love of God lived out, that self-giving love of God expressed for us to the end and into his death on the cross. And it's that self-giving love of God which is the deepest reality of all. And it's that love which brings new life and new hope to even the darkest situation in our world. I think most people, whether they consider themselves religious or not, understand the importance of love in human life. If you ask them what's the most important thing when everything else is stripped away, most people usually say it's our families, it's our friends, it's those who care for us, who journey with us. That's what really matters ultimately. I could lose a lot of things, but I don't want to lose that. We know how important love is. Think back for a moment to the terrible attack on Westminster Bridge when a number of people lost their lives. The immediate response to that of many people who were there were acts of compassion and care for those in need. Not just passers-by, but also, of course, the emergency services who came into that situation, not knowing the risk to their own lives, but they gave that care and compassion and love to those in need. We know instinctively that love trumps all those awful things. We want love to shape our lives and not the things which drag life down. Well, that very basic human instinct, I believe, reflects the very heart of God, made known to us in Jesus in his death and resurrection. The way of love is not easy. Love can be costly, and to journey with those who suffer can be a costly business. But ultimately, it's the way that leads to new life and new hope and reshapes all of our lives. But of course, the question then comes about, can we really believe that at the heart of life, at the heart of this vast universe, there is this reality of love? How are we to find faith and belief? Well, that's where Thomas helps us out rather a lot. I've got a real soft spot for Thomas and his questions, because, of course, they're the questions which lots of people ask about the resurrection of Christ. How can this be? And here was Thomas. When the other disciples came and said, "We've met the risen Lord," Thomas was saying, "I'm not going to believe that until I see Jesus before my own eyes and put my hands in his wounds." And sure enough, we are told that Jesus appeared. There is good evidence for the resurrection. Christian faith and belief isn't just some kind of rather shaky opinion which we opt for. There are good reasons to believe and to put our faith in God. Faith means really putting our trust in the God whose nature is love. There is evidence, and we do have to think about that. And I know those of you who've prepared for confirmation will have thought through why Christians believe as they do. And there are good reasons for it. It is a matter of our heads. But it's more than that. It's a matter of our hearts and our whole lives as well. Think of those disciples who met with the risen Christ. They'd just gone through the experience of Christ's death. Many of their hopes had been devastated. Just perhaps as in our own lives, sometimes we go through really difficult times. We find ourselves fearful or worried or anxious. In the presence of the risen Christ, those disciples were moved from deep fear to a place of peace that Christ brought to them. They moved from a place of guilt and concern about their own failings to a sense of real forgiveness. It's all there in the passage we heard from John. They moved from a sense of the absence of Christ to a sense of the real presence of Christ and the Holy Spirit in their lives. So their whole experience of life was shaped by their openness to God's love. The Christian life is an attempt to put our trust in that love of God, to open our hearts and our minds to be shaped by God's love. In short, we are created by love and for love. Faith has been described in this way. Faith is to recognize and accept that we are face to face with our God, to realize the presence of that fundamental love which makes us to be. So when we come to faith, when we accept the love of God, we don't see, there's lots of things that are the same, but they're suddenly seen in a new light, a new way, seen in the light of God's love, which shines on everything that we do and everything that we are. Bishop John Austin Baker once said that faith is seeing things as they really are. In other words, our world and we are loved by God, seeing them as they really are for the first time. And I hope and pray that those being baptized and confirmed, you will know your lives as you journey on, being shaped more and more by God's love, responding to that love. And in order to do that, there are three things which are absolutely crucial in the Christian life. And I hope you will take with you as you journey on. Very briefly, they're these. The first is our lives of worship and prayer. coming Sunday by Sunday, praying day by day with all the things that are in our hearts and on our minds, bringing them before God and seeking to see them in the light of God's love as we worship God and as we pray to Him. That is crucial. The second thing is our thinking about our faith, how we understand it, how we express it, how we share it with others. There are many challenges to Christian faith. We do have to continue thinking it through, and I hope you will do that. And by doing so, come to an even deeper faith and deeper understanding of God's love, and learn how to share it with others. And the third thing we need to do as we journey on is to try to grow in love ourselves, to be people of compassion and care for the individuals who are around us, but also people who have a deep concern for justice in our world, for the big issues of our time, and we are prepared to try to shape God's love in the way in which God wants our world to be. And all of that is done, not just as lone individuals, but in the whole community of faith. We don't plough our own furrows as Christians. We are joined together with the whole body of Christ as we journey on. So this evening, I hope we will all pray for those to be baptized and confirmed, and for our own journeys of life and faith, that we may be truly born into this living hope, and that it may shape us and we may grow in it all the days of our lives. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.